Video. It's the only way to get what you want to watch when you want to watch it. Always.
Hello, my name's Justin LeClue, and I'm here today with
Mark Hansen.
And you're listening to the Bay Street Video Podcast, where we go through all the notable Blu-rays and DVDs that were released this week.
Ooh, it's slim pickings these days, man.
Hey,
slim
listen, pickin'. If we start to, you know, results of the entire podcast, buzz, buzz, I think it's a new movie in theaters.
Buzz, buzz, buzz. Well, no, you have to see the other movie that it's
I got to see the Bricklayer before I can buzz, buzz.
Then we should have a real conversation about compare and contrast.
All right, number one, get out your pocketbook because there's a new ultra 4K edition of Park Chan-wook's Old Boy. It's $100.
It is $100, bad boy. I mean, we have to import this from the U.S.
So how much does it retail if you bought it directly from Neon?
I don't know, actually. Our price for it, though, is comparable to what it would cost to buy it on Amazon.com or anywhere else. That's just what this costs. This has been a long time coming. This was actually supposed to come out early December and got pushed back a month. I don't know if it was like a packaging reason or whatever.
Ridiculous. This is unacceptable. The tin that I got... that came with the first volume of the
strip,
film strip and like a four disc set was cheaper than this was.
Oh yeah. You know what? That tin set was, I think, the first thing I ever bought from Bay Street Video as a customer before I worked here. I came in here as like a young impressionable film student back in the day because I think it was around 2006 or so that came out and it was on the
20
shelf
years ago.
And I'm like, I have to have that.
Yeah.
Don't have it anymore. I sold that thing for like $100.
I
like
still have
several
mine.
Years ago.
I don't have the manga anymore though.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the film strip is still in there.
Yep.
Does it have? There was like a 5-hour documentary. I wonder if that's still on here. It doesn't look like it is because I see here, maybe Autobiography of Old Boy. That's what it is.
Yeah. They have a lot on this release.
It's not $100 worth.
Yeah.
This is unacceptable.
The subtitles are improved.
It's not $100 worth of improved subtitles.
I don't know. A lot of people have been talking about
this. Because this is just like a little box.
It is.
I know it's been selling like crazy, I'm sure.
It has. The thing is, it's limited, or they say it's limited, and that's what's getting people to buy it because I don't know if this is gonna
last. Old Boy is going to disappear,
and you'll never see it again. The other thing that bothers me about this though is it's only 4K.
Wow, no
so
Blu-ray.
The Blu-ray disc is just
extras.
Special features.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a 4K player yet, you can't do anything.
I'm gonna say,
so
don't buy this because don't encourage companies to charge you $100 for a release.
I know. Well, this was Neon's big get after I think they got Parasite and everything, and they're like, ooh, we can get more Korean movies, and they don't usually do older stuff, right?
Yeah.
But this was their first kind of like older acquisition that like they were like, we're gonna restore, we're gonna tour theatrically, we're gonna put it out, and here it is. I mean, that's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot of money. $100.
Go looking online for that DVD set that they put out. That was like the box, like in the movie that has a Harry Knowles commentary track on it that only ever showed up on that.
Yep.
Nowhere else.
Yep.
I wonder how much that box goes for now. Probably like $500.
That's probably way more than this.
Yeah, but yeah, this is not $100 worth of nice.
Yeah, it looks, and it's just one of those movies. Like I just bought Old Boy a lot. Like
yeah, me too. The tin,
like the tin
on Blu-ray,
on
the set,
the Vengeance trilogy.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like, I mean, obviously this was going to come out on 4K at some point, and we were going to sell a ton. It just. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Even for an import, that's a lot of money.
This is going to sell like crazy, and the companies
are going
to go,
we've already sold a ton,
we can do $100 Blu-ray releases. What's going to happen is eventually they're going to switch that model, and then that will not be able to be supported, and it will just completely collapse.
I will say I'm appreciative that with Neon, unlike A24, we're getting these additions here.
Because you would have to, A24 doesn't
even
sell.
A24 does a similar kind of thing with this packaging stuff, but we can't get them here except for that one for After Sun where we have like,
a After Sun
deal.
For some reason.
But, you know, I'm a grateful Neon's even letting us have these because
Neon's not listening to this.
When they first announced this, I thought it was just going to be like you have to get it directly from them. But no, it's here. And we got tons
of
copies.
I'm glad that you could bring Old Boy to the people.
Hey,
a movie
we're
that.
Bringing it and people are buying it.
I do believe people that it was like, a little bit unavailable. What am I talking about? Because
it's never
get released in the UK.
You're right, though. It was out of print in North America for a while.
But there's like region-free Blu-rays because didn't you have some of those?
Probably.
What the hell?
I know the Tartan Blu-ray and the Vengeance Trilogy. All
Furious.
All been out of print for several years now. But still. We had the Umbrella version. That's what came. Umbrella released a Blu-ray last year.
South Korea used to have the best DVD sets ever.
Yeah.
And they don't do it anymore. And they used to rule, like, Save the Green Planet came with, like, have you ever seen Save the Green Planet?
Yeah. I saw that theatrically.
Love that movie.
I think I saw that at the Blur or something back in the day.
But there was, like, whatever, like, the body lotion puts on the guy.
I remember
it came
that
with the set, and you could open it up. I didn't have it. I wish I did.
Those were the golden years.
I have the Arahan special edition that comes in, like, a very
weird.
I went online and I bought it for, like, probably $50, I think. I also got The Duelist. Remember Nowhere to Hide? That movie? You never saw it? South Korean movie? It's not even available
anymore. I know it, but I don't think I've seen it.
The director made like a Wuxia when it was that Wuxia wave, but it's like barely a Wuxia and it tanked. But on the 3-disc Blu-ray, only on that big set, there's a documentary with English subtitles that's about how much of a nightmare the production was and how bad. And it ends with a TIFF premiere.
Wow.
Yeah, so very interesting. And that that special making of has never escaped anywhere except for that 3-disc Blu-ray set.
Okay, all right.
So next up, boy.
So Justin says, don't buy Old Boy.
Don't buy Old Boy. Not for $100.
I say buy it because I want you to buy it.
You can't return them.
Just buy everything we have. I don't care, good or bad.
Next up, Blood Simple. 4K.
I mean, you put this on the list. Yeah.
Did I? Yeah. We had almost nothing this week.
I know. Yeah, I mean, who doesn't love Blood Simple?
It's great. I have it on Blu-ray. I'm not buying it on 4K.
With these Criterion 4K upgrades, like, this is literally the same thing, guys.
It's the same cover!
They've just added another disc in. That's all they do.
Screw you, Criterion.
And then they put this sticker on the front.
I'll fire it up this week.
I know. But yeah, Blood Simple, I mean, yeah, it's great, but do you need it on 4K?
No! You don't need it on 4K! Like, you don't!
I'm okay with my DVD. Of it.
Yeah. You know the people who are saying you need 4K? They're the people running the companies who see this as a...
Criterion's like maybe the laziest about it.
Yeah.
Because unless it's a new movie they've never put out before, they're doing the exact... It's literally like they've just swapped out the case for a 2-disc and just put an extra disc in and then
That's exactly what they do.
Same cover, same everything. And then they slap the new 4K sticker on and they put a $50 price sticker and you're done.
Oh, I wonder. Oh, yeah, it says 1 4K. They didn't have to change the back. They had to print new covers.
They do. Yeah. Slightly. They just modify it. Put a new barcode on. It's a different thing.
I mean, if you don't own Blood Simple,
I guess buy it. But it's like.
But then you could get it for cheaper on Blu-ray and it looks exactly the same.
Yeah, you could pay $50 for it on that. Or you could just get the Blu-ray for $40 or you could get a DVD for $20.
Blu-ray podcast of store that's telling
all
you
over
like
4K.
No 4K, even though
I know so many Blu-ray collectors and like proponents out there would think we're the worst podcast ever. But you know what? We're the people's physical media.
I will not say that like you don't need 4K. I'll say it.
You don't need 4K.
No, I'm sorry.
I shouldn't say that. I'm trying to push this stuff on people.
Yeah, and it's more expensive. Yeah.
And also, it says the guy who just got like the Face Off 4K.
You don't even have a 4K player or a 4K TV.
Yeah, it comes with a Blu-ray. So I want the highest possible quality for my Face Off.
They're not going to do it anymore.
I know.
But the thing is, like, in the theater. Like, people need to realize that for years, you weren't even watching 4K things on the big screen, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not what you were watching, which are probably some of the formative movie experiences that you had.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
All right, we're done with 4K. For now, we're done with 4K.
The Exiles. It's a new release from the Milestone Cinematheque Collection.
Love
Tino
these guys.
Lorber.
Have you seen this movie?
Nope, I have not.
Yeah, I checked this out. I've always been interested in this one. So The Exiles is an older example from the 60s of the documentary fiction hybrid, you know? Mm-hmm. Very in vogue these days, but back in the day, maybe not so much. Anyways, this is from a filmmaker named Kent McKenzie, who kind of was friendly with the Native American community and made this film based on people he knew and Native Americans' lives struggling in LA in a specific neighborhood. It is a fictional story, but it takes sort of a documentary-like approach, and all of the dialogue is kind of like based on their real experiences and everything. Really important film that's been, you know, preserved by every kind of like film institution that you can think of. And it's been restored by the UCLA Film and Television Archive. It's on Blu-ray and I love to see it. I'd never actually seen this, but I checked it out this week and it's quite excellent.
No, that's
good.
Quite
excellent. So this is a pretty important part of film history and Native American film history. So even though it was made by a white guy, you know.
I like how it says.
It's the early 60s. What can you do?
I was reading the back and it said like, the first signs of a beautiful filmmaking career. And I was like, I bet this director's never done. Nope, he's never done anything else.
I looked him up after. I'm like, what's this Kent McKenzie guy done? Not much. Well, he worked in a lot of like technical areas, but as a director, mm-hmm. I think he made one or two other like strict documentaries, and that was it. He made a short doc before this that was kind of like the precursor to this, but
which I believe are included on this.
I think it's included on this Blu-ray or something. Yeah, he didn't really go on to do much else after, unfortunately. Oh, and that's why he died young.
He died young
at the age of 50. He died in 1980 because apparently. I guess he had seizures all the time, and his something to do with his medication. Sad story.
That's sad.
Yeah, highly recommend this one. I love the Milestone Cinematheque stuff, what they're doing, preserving some stuff that might not otherwise be preserved.
Next up, we have Split Image. And it's this week's blind buy.
Woo, 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 woo. Splitting the image.
Splitting in the image. Now, you sent me this cover. I got a little excited. I thought it was like an erotic neo-noir
me too.
Or something.
When I first got this in, because I'd never heard of this movie before, even though it is directed by Ted Kotcheff.
Canada's own,
who's made a lot of great films. And
held in high regard. You never hear someone say, I'm a Ted Kotcheff fan.
Yeah, but then I always look through his filmography. I'm like, oh, yeah, I love that. Yeah, like, we got a Bernie's love that.
I mean, this one came out the same month as Rambo First Blood, another film that he directed.
And also stars Brian Dennehy. Great cast on this in general, though.
Yeah.
James Woods. Who is...
Good man,
James Woods. Hilarious screen cap of James Woods.
On the back being like, ooh! We also have Karen Allen.
Yep.
Peter Fonda.
Peter Fonda.
Cast seemingly as like, it's the evil Easy Rider character.
Yeah.
And Michael O'Keefe, not Miles O'Keefe, like I thought it was going to be.
That's what I thought.
No, this is a guy from Caddyshack.
Yeah, which is like, whatever. I was intrigued by this premise, though, because I love cult stuff.
I'm not a big fan of cult stuff. You are.
I love cult stuff. There's a lot of true crime docs about cult stuff right now, so I'm really
into it. Makes me feel bad.
Yeah, no, I get it. And
but you love it. You're like, no,
I love it. Give me more. Although, just, I find it hard believing how some people, especially like the character in this movie, fall into this kind of
but
it happens all the time.
Yeah,
that's why maybe I'm so fascinated by it.
Yeah,
I don't know if this movie is
specifically... you like a couple years away from joining a cult? Is that
maybe.
What's happening? Yeah,
I mean, the way the world is these days, who knows, man, who knows. But yeah, I don't know if this is based on true events.
No,
or
I
not.
Looked it didn't seem to be based on true
I don't
events.
Know if it's inspired loosely, but it's about a college-bound kid, a gymnast who's from a good family, Brian Dennehy's his father.
Yeah.
You know, there's not really any problems necessarily in the family, but he falls for a girl, Karen Allen, who
Well, he's kind of like his father
world.
Is pressuring him to be a gymnast.
Yeah,
he doesn't really want to do
but
that.
But it's like your garden variety sort of like teen angst problems.
Yeah. He joins Karen Allen, gets him to join a cult.
Gets him to join a cult run by Peter Fonda, who is pretty great, pretty creepy.
I wish the cult was more evil.
But that's what the cult is, right? It's supposed to be like welcoming, and then it's not until you're like too deep in it that
where you're like,
oh,
they're raising money, but for what? I wanted to see Peter Fonda having sex with all the people.
I know.
Like,
they kind of set it up like it's a Charles Manson-esque thing meets like...
My disappointment with this film.
Branch Davidian, Jonestown
It's about the
thing.
Kid joining the cult when I wish it was about James Woods because he rules in this movie.
Well, that's the thing. The first half of it or so is about
it's
the
like
kid 50
joining minutes,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, for kid joining the cult. But I was okay. I was going with it. Peter Fonda was kind of giving off some creepy vibes. All right. I didn't totally buy how fast the kid
joined the cult.
Joined it because he did seem skeptical at first.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's like there. Second half, though, is where this movie really goes off.
Yeah, James Woods.
James Woods plays
James
a
Woods.
Deprogrammer. He's basically just James Woods.
Yeah, just off the leash, coked
off
up.
Off the leash. He's some sort of like... deprogrammer for hire guy.
I love he's like such a scumbag too.
Yeah, he's such a scumbag. I guess this happened. I mean, they set it up like this happens all the time and his services are like in high demand or something.
But
you
he
know?
Even says like, I make no money off of this. I live in a trailer park.
Yeah, right.
He's like, I haven't been laid in months.
Exactly. So they kidnap the kid, bring him back home, and then the second half of
they
the
just
movie
yell at him.
Is like them yelling at him and you get the kid's POV, which is this weird like fisheye lens like half the time.
And like James Woods.
Some good trip out
we
stuff
we finally
there.
See what he really looks like, a demon man.
Yeah, he looks like a demon man. James Woods going all out in this. A very fun performance from him. I enjoyed this more than I thought I would. I will say it feels like an after-school special.
Yes.
But with a higher budget.
Yeah. It ends in a way where I was like, well, I don't think that's the end of that.
It ends abruptly. Yeah. It ends a little too abruptly. It almost feels like there's a whole nother act that kind of got cut out or something. But I mean, the movie's almost 2 hours long too, so I don't know.
I mean, was I disappointed with the blind buy? No, I don't think I was disappointed.
I think I was okay with it. This kind of gave me what I wanted from this premise.
Yeah.
It could have pushed it a little more, but then it would have... but then you would have lost some of the realism.
Just
to
like
it,
Caddyshack,
I
don't want any of this Michael O'Keefe.
Yeah,
I just want James Woods.
Yeah, he's not as charismatic. I mean, he's okay.
He's fine.
But James Woods is the real star here. And I thought Peter Fonda was okay too. You know,
yeah,
Brian Dennehy is always a nice presence, even though he's kind of in the background. I like when James Woods starts beating on it. That's one of the tactics. He's like, I'm going to beat your father up. You're right. Your father does suck. You know, I thought it was okay. And the big deal with this is it's before this Kino release hasn't really been available on DVD.
No one cares.
Yeah, apparently theatrically it came and went really fast. And then I guess I was reading online, the VHS releases and everything were all pan and scan.
Yeah.
So this is the first time I think it's been seen in its full scope widescreen.
Whoa.
Since then. Pretty cool. And it looks okay. It's a decent movie. I can get behind Ted Koshoff.
We can get behind him.
I have
his biography at home that I've never read.
Hey.
It was published like 5 years, 10 years ago, maybe?
Really,
yeah, it's new.
Canadian pride.
The people demanded. It's just like a director's chair on the cover. The people are going to be like, love Ted Koshoff. How does something like that get like sold?
Yeah. I
directed Rambo First Blood. It's like, oh, of course we'll publish a biography when like no one can name who directed Rambo.
Well, that's
Rambo.
The thing. He's one of those guys like, Ted Koshoff, who? But then, yeah, if you just
he
pitch
was Mordecai
him on the
Richler. A roommate when they were in college, I think.
Because he directed a couple of Richler adaptations, right?
He did. Did he do The Apprenticeship of Duddy Kravitz?
I think he did.
I believe he did.
He did Joshua Then and Now.
Yeah, Joshua
also had James Woods.
There's a Mordecai Richler novel that's about them living together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I have not read that
one.
Things
I did not know about Ted Koshoff. I'm learning
something
new.
Well, now you do. Maybe you should read this biography.
I think I need to read the Ted Koshoff book.
Would you like to buy it off me for $100?
I think I'm okay.
Don't look at a used bookstore to maybe find it for $5.
Yeah, I'm not sure I care that much about it.
All right, well, clearly the passion is not there.
I'm sorry. I lost the passion very quickly there.
Next up, we have The Ballad of Little Joe. Did you watch this one?
I didn't. No, never seen it. But the list was light, and I was intrigued by this one only because it's been hard to see for a while.
Yeah.
There was a Warner Archive DVD.
Is this a re-release?
No, this is the first time Kino's put
because it's so cheap that I thought maybe it was like slapped the cover on it.
It's like those ones, but the only way it was available before was through a Warner Archive DVD. Oddly enough. Which went out of print because we tried to bring one in for rental because people asked about it every once in a while and it was out of print, so I couldn't get it. But
I'd be interested in this because I really like the writer-directors, Maggie Greenwald.
Yeah.
She made a film called The Kill Off, which is a like kind of very low-key neo-noir that...
Okay.
I believe it's a Jim Thompson adaptation.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but
it's
I know what it is. I've been interested in her, which is why I put this on the list, just because.
I looked at reviews.
Interesting cast,
it seemed pretty middling. You know, I'll pick this one up because I want to watch it.
I'm intrigued. I mean, you're a Western guy, right?
I love Westerns, yeah. But there's a kind of TV Western that I feel like the mood has probably had. This is an epic 121 minutes.
Wow.
Who made this? Like, what company was behind it?
Was Warner involved?
I mean, if it was written by Warner Archive, maybe they distributed
it. One of their.
But I don't see their name anywhere on this. Fine Film Line Pictures, which makes
Fine Line. Well, that was New Line's independent vision.
There you go.
Warner would have bought that.
That's why.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, but it's cool that it's available. We've actually been.
For cheap?
We get asked about this a lot throughout the years, so there's definitely a fan base for it. Great cast, though, on this, too.
You know, we're looking at that old boy, $100. give me a 4K. It's a little bit more reasonable. What's this? Clive Barker's Underworld. Well, there you go. This one is
also known as Transmutation.
I believe Transmutation is the name it's mostly known under.
Well, that's the thing. On all the order sheets and everything,
it says
Underworld, aka Transmutations. But it doesn't say Transmutations anywhere on here.
It only says that at the back. Transmutations, 103-minute alternate cut.
Yeah. So I wanted to watch this, and I just didn't have time this week. I'm intrigued. But it also kind of looked a little like Clive Barker's.
Well, we got it from our friends,
At Kino Cult. Because this is the third Kino Cult release.
Because they sent Mark a copy. Not me, though.
They're only sending us one copy.
Yeah.
Well, they sent me this and the other Jess Franco one they did.
You know what? Maybe we would have a more you know, heartful recommendation if I could have watched it, which I did not.
Well, these also came out right before Christmas, and I was all jazzed, ready to, like,
we didn't get them
Christmas,
until then.
And we just got them now, and I'm like, I couldn't work up the energy to watch this.
I believe this came out before or after Rye Had Rap?
Before, I think.
Same director.
This is 85.
This one is not held in any high regard.
No, I'd never really heard much about this before. I was reading the back of it. It sounds kind of like a Nightbreed sort of thing, in that there's, like, a secret world of all these, like, mutant kind of creatures. which kind of turned me off a bit because I'm not a huge Nightbreed guy.
Yeah, but, well, you won't like this. Like, this isn't like the poorer man's Nightbreed.
It's like, it seemed like a poorer man's
Nightbreed. Nightbreed rules.
I know. I don't know what it is. It's one of those movies I want to like, and I just has never, I've seen it twice. It's never really done
audio
much for me.
Commentary is the director, George Pavlou, moderated by Stephen Thrower, author of Nightmare USA. Now I'm in for that.
There
I love
go.
Myself some Stephen Thrower.
Well, you can have the press copy of this.
Sweet. Well, it's you don't have it.
I'm sorry. I forgot it. Next time I'll bring it. It's all yours. It's on a pile at home.
Can't I have this one that, like, the packaging is completely off?
Well, you could, but the discs don't work because we got another half batch of these. Discs all off the hub.
Wait, so the discs don't work at all?
Apparently they're freezing or scratched or whatever.
That sucks.
Somebody brought it back. I mean, you can try it if you want.
I'm not that desperate for
it. I got a free copy. You can have a free copy of it. If you wait, a week, you can have a free copy.
I need Underworld. No. After saying I
promise
don't need
you,
it.
You can have it. You can have it. I don't care.
Kino
that much.
Cult. I'm glad they're keeping going, even though you would not know it's Kino Cult unless you read the spine.
It's weird to me too that they
there's no labeling on it other than the spine.
Weird to me they went 4K on this one when they haven't for any of their other.
Has this one
Kino
been
cults.
On the like advertised for a long time? I felt like
Maybe.
They announced it like a year ago.
It's possible.
Yeah,
I don't remember, but
yeah,
I don't know. It just seems like one that you know they would have just done a regular Blu-ray for, but. Yeah, that's fine. You got both.
You got both of them. And it is $32 Canadian,
yeah,
right?
It's not so. All the Kino 4Ks, unless it's like a multi-disc set, are, like $31.95.
See, that's reasonably priced.
That's reasonable. That's even cheaper than Shout, Criterion, like anybody else.
Yeah.
So I will give Kino props. They're at least keeping their prices
down.
Way more reasonable than most other companies.
And whoa, what's this? Speaking of Stephen Thrower, this is something that I don't know if he would like this kind of stuff, but I associate him with Jess Franco-esque. Oh, he's quoted on
he's
one
quoted
of them.
Quoted on
there
one
we
of
go.
These.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh man, I know my Stephen Thrower.
This is interesting.
New
here.
Releases from Redemption and Sacrament, which is a Redemption sub-label?
I think so.
Yes, because it says Salvation, Redemption.
Yeah. So for people that don't remember, these were old DVD labels from that Kino, I think.
Early 2000s?
Like, I don't know if they went through Kino back in the day.
God, those
or
DVDs
were,
look so ugly.
They were bad.
And
they were
back! They're back! They got like the
back.
Same...
they were mostly known for putting out Jean Rollin stuff.
That's right.
There's a bunch of other... Like
their logo was like a vampire woman that they shot a new photo of.
They also put out a lot of porny stuff.
Yes, very large breasts on a lot of the...
Yeah, mostly I associate it with Jean Rollin stuff, which is... And just some Jess Franco stuff.
Maybe. Did they do some Jess Franco?
I think they did a few Jess Franco ones, which is why it makes sense that Stephen Thrower is quoted on here.
Well, they also used to do Japanese Pinku
they
stuff.
They did, yes.
Which is what we're talking about today because we have S&M Hunter Begins. I don't know this movie. We made this list while me and Mark were walking here this morning.
Yeah, wasn't much to choose from. I know it's a sequel to S&M Hunter.
Which is very famous.
Yes, which is more famous and has been put out before.
Yeah.
Maybe by Sacrament. I don't know.
What?
Maybe by Sacrament before?
No. Did it Mondo Severin Synapse, one of those companies
of
put
those.
It out.
Yeah, this one, I don't know if this has ever been put
little,
out before.
Not problematic, but concerning when the only quote on the back is from a character in the movie. People are only truly happy when they're doing what excites them. The Roper S&M Hunter.
Okay.
Cool. Never before available on DVD.
Yeah, first time here.
They claim S&M Hunter is a sleaze masterpiece. Now, is it a concern? No Blu-ray.
All DVDs on this, yeah.
I betcha they couldn't get a transfer from the company.
You think
and maybe Kino has a rule, unlike every other company, that's like, well, just put it out on Blu-ray, even though it's a standard transfer.
Well,
I'm looking at you, a bunch of companies.
I think they're sticking with DVD on these.
Wow, they're cheap though.
There's another one coming next month, which is another Japanese pink film. I'm blanking on what the title is, but also just DVD. So maybe.
Huh. Well, the second one, From Redemption. So I guess Sacrament, is it Japanese?
I'm not sure, yeah. Redemption, I'm more familiar with.
But it's the same company.
It's the same thing,
and these are all through Kino well.
Yeah.
Even though there's no Kino branding on this.
No, they're trying to keep it,
it all down
comes
low.
Through Kino. But it's like the milestone thing.
Now, did you see Far From the Apple Tree?
I did watch this one.
Okay.
I gave it a shot.
Man, I know. I look at it and I'm like, Mark is going to watch this one.
So this is a new movie.
Yeah.
But I can definitely see why they released it on this label because it's very consciously trying to be like a Jean Rollin. This, I wasn't familiar with this director, Grant McPhee. He's a British director who...
What else has he made?
So he's most known for doing like documentaries of like English rock bands and stuff.
Huh.
But recently he's made a few films that seem to be all like this very surreal, phantasmagorical kind of, yeah, like Jean Roland inspired, yeah, kind of horror things. This movie is about a young struggling artist who takes a job with an older famous artist at her like castle mansion kind of thing, where she's supposed to, you know, help her with her collection and catalog it. And then at the end of it, she'll get her own like art show or whatever. Yeah. And then she gets there and finds out that the woman's deceased, maybe possibly deceased daughter looks exactly like her.
Oh no.
Is she possibly the daughter? Is she maybe? Mm. I don't know. I'll leave that up
to you. Did you enjoy it?
It was okay.
I'm going to hint that to how he said, I gave it a chance, means that you did not like it very much.
It's, you know what? I'm just, with some of these movies, it's like, the style's all there. I appreciate the style. It's got a vibe. I thought the actors were good. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just looking at this movie, and I'm like, I feel like I've seen this like
a million times
before. Yeah. It's one of those like all pure vibes, pure style. It all ends like super ambiguously. So okay, you're like, not really. It's just kind of an audiovisual experience. So on that level, yeah, it's okay. I don't know if it's ever something I would watch again, but I can totally see why they decided to put this on Redemption, because I'm like,
but there should
like,
be,
this is like Jean Roland,
a warning though, this is a 2019
here
film that's being released directly to DVD,
exactly,
through Redemption.
And he's made, I think, a couple even since this has come out, so he's just, but I looked at like where this had played. This played like a few
little fest, like Fright Fest, or
yeah,
fest,
yeah, not even Fright Fest, okay. So but, you know, Stephen Thrower seems to be a fan.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Disorienting and hallucinatory, he calls it. Yeah, it's fine. There's like, the film contains a sequence of flashing lights, which might affect customers. I'm like, I don't even remember that part of it. But
maybe you passed out.
We were just talking about this director. It looks like this actually has some extras, including a bunch of his short films.
Yep.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Which is kind of cool.
An interview with an actor.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right, next up we have Suitable Flesh. Joe Lynch's Suitable Flesh. Now, this, I feel like maybe you would have watched something like this. Heather Graham is in it.
I love the cast, yeah.
Yeah.
Jonathan Scheck, my boy.
Who's Jonathan Scheck?
Greg Araki guy. He was in the Doom Generation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, oh, I know who he is. And Barbara Crampton.
He's also in The Forsaken.
Which I feel you're probably not a fan of, but Heather Graham.
What? Barbara Crampton? How am I not a fan? Everybody's a fan.
Okay, okay. I feel
Barbara
like you're
Crampton
like, she's in too many
legend
horror films. I'm trying to read Mark Hansen.
I love how you have to be a horrible person not to.
But this is supposed to be like
Barbara
an erotic
Crampton
horror thriller, and you
I'm intrigued,
seen it.
Yeah. It's mostly just because I just have no experience with Joe Lynch, and it's like, he's one of those guys, I'm like, if I want to get into Joe Lynch, I want to start maybe.
I love Joe Lynch as a guy
somewhere.
I think he's super fun. Love listening to him. Love his passion.
Yeah.
I haven't loved any of his movies, and
not
I want
a single
to so
one
bad. Probably the one I got closest to was Mayhem.
Yeah.
I liked Wrong Turn 2 when it came out, and I was like, I can't wait. You've seen Wrong Turn 2.
Like
and you didn't
that
like Wrong Turn 2.
And that's what maybe turned me off a bit of him, because that was when I first heard about him, was that he was like the maestro behind the Wrong Turn sequels, and people were like,
Wrong Turn sequel. He never did the other ones.
And I love Wrong Turn, but I'd never seen any of the sequels. I'm like, okay, everybody talks these Wrong Turn sequels up. Everybody talks Joe Lynch up. I remember renting them, I think from Suspect Video back in the day. Didn't do anything.
And then
for
there was
me.
Knights of Badassdom, which famously that was taken out of his hand. So I was like, okay. And then Everly, which I remember watching going like, I want to like this way more than I actually do. This is bumming me out. And then, what did he do right after that? He did do that Netflix film, which I was up early in the morning ready to watch. Like, finally, he's got a budget. Frank Grillo, Anthony Mackie. Boy, I did not like it. And Mayhem, that was in between.
Mayhem, yeah. I remember Mayhem being a big deal. That did well for us here when
it
came out. Yeah.
Really love Mayhem. Hear him on his podcast. He's super like critical of himself.
Okay.
And, you know, critical. He's super critical of all the movies. He has a Letterboxd account. He does not give those star ratings out with much aplomb. Suitable Flesh, I watched 30 minutes of it. Didn't have a chance to finish it. And if he's hearing this, and he may, because he seems to
does he
consume everything that, like, any criticism of him. Oh, man, I want to like it. I want to like it. It's, like, written by Dennis Paoli, the guy who did all of Stuart Gordon's film.
Oh,
it's another kind of H.P. Lovecraft-style thing. Heather Graham, back in a starring role.
Love
that
her.
Was great.
Yeah, big fan of her.
I don't know, man. I'll watch it.
And
I'm going to buy every Joe Lynch film.
And when you picked this up, you this is exactly what you thought you were going to think about it.
Yes, when I got it, I was like...
amusing to me.
When I bought it, you're like, why are you buying it? You think you're not going to like it? I was like, I want to like it.
You're gonna force yourself to. You gotta sit yourself
down. Joe Lynch is a cool guy.
Clockwork Orange style, you know.
I don't listen to his podcast anymore because I can't take the Steven Tyler congratulations. You know, some podcasts, and I fear like us or the other ones that I do will get to that point where it's like, you got 10 stories, you said them 10 times, you know, say
them
another 100 times. Yeah. That like his podcast kind of turned into that where they kind of kept telling the same stories over and over.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, I was like, I can't. I can't do it anymore. It's just it's too much. And it's like, one day, that's this, as human beings, we only have so many stories to tell.
We only do. Like the JFK story.
Yes.
Which isn't even your story.
I wasn't even going to say it again a couple episodes ago, and you're like, say it again, Justin. We love it. Play the hits. Freebird. Yeah. Yep. But listen, I bought this. This is an RLGE film release, and he did a behind-the-scenes featurette. There's commentary. There's a blooper reel. Interview with the composer. Maybe I'll sit back down, we start from the beginning. I'll love it. I'll be okay. Like, this rules.
Yeah, put it aside Joe for Lynch. Like a year yeah. or so. Come back.
Am I missing
it.
One that he made? Because I've seen them all. Probably. And I own them all on Blu-ray. They're
yeah,
available.
All of these movies you're telling, I'm like, I remember all these coming yeah. out. I remember being intrigued and then just
he did one of those. Remember that anthology film Chillerama that came
yeah,
out?
Yeah, I didn't see yeah. that.
Yeah, you would not like no. that. No.
Again, I was at the time, I was like, oh, this could be cool. And then
I understand
never
you
did.
Wouldn't watch Mayhem. Like, none of the ones. This is the only one I think that you would reach yeah. and be like,
this
oh,
one. When this one was coming out before, like at festivals yeah. and streaming, I was intrigued mostly because the
so
cast.
Then you heard Joe Lynch, you're like, no, thank you.
No, just there's so many new horror movies that they just. And I don't get to.
If you know Mark, if this, I made a joke while we were walking here. I was like, if this was called like Ghost Escalator, and yeah. it was like a J horror film, he would have watched it.
I probably
would have
watched it. Yeah. You know, I think it's like American horror.
Can I just say,
just aren't doing it
we
got to
get
anymore.
Away from these pink covers.
Yeah.
Like, it's exhausting.
It's the 80s thing.
I
know. It's that, like,
and it's like
retro,
From Hell because yeah. it has that pink yep. color scheme. But like, they're all like this. Like, I was looking at another one today I was excited about. I was like, it has that boring pink cover that looks like, and this is nothing. This is just like the actors yeah. on the cover.
Well, that's just the poster, right?
Yeah.
I think they used. Yeah.
It bums me out. Where's the iconic images? Like, maybe you're selling Heather Graham in this, I guess.
I mean,
Heather
Graham looks cool and yeah. drawn up on the front of this. Why didn't they draw Jonathan Schaech on the front of this? That's who I really want to see. He's my man.
I don't think he came into the movie at the point I'm at, so
no.
I don't know
he's
when.
He's here on the back.
Oh, is he?
Know. He's this guy. The guy in the
oh,
movie.
Wait, he's her husband. Yeah, I don't know that guy. He's in... Oh, he's the...
He's in The Forsaken. You ever see that?
I did see The Forsaken.
Yeah, the J.S. Cardona movie.
Yeah, J.S. Cardona, the vampire one.
Yeah, he's also in 8mm 2.
I keep meaning to, like... Like, do I need this? And I keep putting it back on the shelf.
You got to keep that. You got to keep that. That's an all-timer. I know mostly from the Doom Generation, though. That's yeah. like his big role. And he was in stuff like that. He was in Poison Ivy 2, I believe, at the time. He was in a lot of movies I saw at that age in the 90s. So, yeah, I've always had a soft spot.
I want
to
love
you. He's in That Thing You Do.
Doing That Thing You Do.
That Thing You Do is better.
What? That Thing is better?
That Thing You Do is better, right?
Then Can't Hardly Wait?
Yeah.
I haven't watched That Thing You're Doing in a long time.
It's fun. It still holds up.
It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it a few years ago.
Good song.
Yeah. Great song.
Rest
great
in peace,
cast.
That composer. He passed away recently.
Yeah, he did, right?
Yep. Very catchy song. All right.
Anyways,
next up.
Anyways.
Joe Lynch, you got a fan for life, my friend.
Yeah. Just, hey.
I don't know what it is. Like, it's just not clicking.
Yeah, Joe, you got to be happy. You got to send copies to Justin here of all your
like
movies.
Everly? Like, that's a movie that was made for me. And I was sitting there, I was like, why don't I love... Even an Alpha... stunt team member who's one of Koichi Sakamoto's guys.
Yeah.
Like, Joe got him to choreograph the action. Like, it's not good, though.
I remember when that one came out being like, I'm going to watch that. And then I just never did. Right. Story of my life. Yeah.
You're like, what's that? A ghost garbage
yeah,
disposal?
Ghost garbage. Oh, yeah. Sign me up.
And it's a 20-part miniseries.
Yep.
Yes, please.
Hey, okay.
Every episode's 2 hours for some reason.
Give me the ghost garbage
hey,
disposal.
Hey, guys, if you haven't seen it yet, go on Mark's Twitter. He made a top 10 list of his favorite reality shows,
favorite reality shows
of 2023.
That I'm sure people looked across and were like, I don't care about that.
And I was like, 2023? There was that many new... Wait,
yeah,
that, all
and
new
that's
reality
all new
show?
Stuff that
that's
aired.
Wild.
I didn't count anything that like was older that I was catching up on.
Like, what are you catching up on reality show wise?
Right now, I'm catching up on Married to Medicine, which
What's
is
that?
About a bunch of ladies in Atlanta who are married to doctors. It's kind of like Real Housewives, but yeah. just like an offshoot of that.
So what are you looking
a little
for
behind on that,
in
though.
One of those shows? Like,
I'm
drama?
Also catching up on, I know you're a big fan of Deepfake Love when I posted
no,
that.
No, yeah, you explained that to me in detail. Of
but,
like, explain it to the people. What is Deepfake Love?
Well, I think
love?
We talked about it on this. So basically, it's a Spanish show.
Okay.
Basically, you've got
I don't know what
a
we're recording of, and we're not recording
a
anymore.
A series of couples go on into this villa, and they all get split up and live in separate villas,
yeah.
and then they're tempted by these like decoys that come on, and then they have to basically they're all on camera, and they all have to go and look at camera footage of their significant other cheating on them, but it's potentially a faked AI footage, and they have to guess whether their partner is actually cheating on them, which they, half the time they are actually. And half the time it's like
these
fake
shows,
AI footage where they bring in actors and then superimpose faces.
I'm so baffled
it's
by
ridiculous.
This.
It's ridiculous.
Because like This would be punishment for me to have to watch these. I would hate
it's
it.
Hilarious.
And you love
it. I love it.
Because I feel bad for the people. I feel bad for the people that
people
made it.
These people are such idiots.
I know,
like,
but
I
just
feel
bad
for them. You know, I get the like the
that's why I don't like reality television.
Or whatever,
I don't like to see people suffer whether they're idiots or not on screen.
Yeah, but I feel like these people know what they're getting into.
They don't.
So.
Clearly, they're like,
no, they don't.
What's
but
going on?
I think they're more than willing to go along with whatever they want. Mm. They're all like, but they all come on these shows like having cheated on each other like hundreds of times in the past. So it's like these relationships aren't strong anyway.
No, they're not. So,
but they all talk about it like we're gonna get married. Like, no, you're not.
But your number one show was a Running Man esque The Villains.
It's called House of Villains, which brought together a bunch of like. I mean, you won't know any of these people.
No, I won't know
because it's all like legendary.
Well, there was that Trump lady,
villains.
Right?
Omarosa.
Omarosa, yeah.
Tiffany New York Pollard, who is a big name from Flavor of Love back in the day.
I don't know what Flavor of Love is.
Flavor Flav? You never
oh,
Flavor
it like
of
a
Love?
Romantic?
It's like his dating show, yeah.
God.
And then, you know, Vanderpump Rules, Jax Taylor.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard that name before.
No, I've not.
Oh, maybe not. All right.
You
anyways,
explained,
they all come together
on this
at a house
podcast
and they,
what
and
Vanderpump
they,
Rules was.
Yeah. Wow. every it's that's
right
main,
out of my
that's
head.
Mainstream now, you know. But all these villains come together in a house and they play mind games with each other for money and they have to like annoy each other and everything. Great stuff. Awesome stuff. But that's great because they're all awful people. So it's like you don't feel bad.
Yeah, but they're
like
winning.
Anything.
They're winning.
Yeah, but not really.
You're watching. They've won.
I don't care.
They've won.
But again, I make this
There's
point
no
to you
There's no ethical
all the
consumption
time.
Under capitalism.
I make this point to you again. I don't find any of these people any more awful than like most of the people
yeah.
we watch in movies or anything.
I'm not judging
right?
you for watching. I'm
no,
just
I know.
Fascinated
yeah, yeah.
by...
For me, it's like all the it's like the same as watching like DTV Direct.
Because then they calculate like how many hours of reality TV show you watch based
yeah.
on that, and it was like 300.
It wasn't actually
hours.
As
wasn't
much
actually
as
that
you
much
thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, although that's not counting the hours of stuff that wasn't even on that list.
Yeah.
So,
do you follow like stuff beyond the show? Like, do you watch like YouTube things related
not
to the show?
Not really. My partner Ashley is way more connected to like the social media gossip that's
yeah.
going on around these people,
yeah.
which is honestly. A lot of times more fascinating than what's even on TV
mm-hmm.
itself. But I'm usually just kind of like watching it and then kind of dipping.
Like, when do you jettison like a reality TV show? When does
when
it
do
like
I...
yeah? Didn't Vanderpump Rules do that?
Yeah, when I feel like the production behind it is getting. See, I'm okay with obviously watching terrible people and
yeah.
everything, but I think
because you don't watch
I
like
the
good
way...
people do good things on reality
yeah,
television.
What I have a problem with it is when production behind it seems to be on the people's side and let these people start crafting their own like bullshit narratives about
mm.
how they're good people when it's like obvious they aren't. And a lot of these shows like Vanderpump Rules have started to do that now. It happens a lot. These people get too big. At first they're just like, oh, look at these idiots.
So they become
right?
the lead of the
then
show.
Then they become like stars
yeah.
and they're like, well, you have to like let me do what I want because I'm drawing the audience in, which is true to a point, but also like you're
mm.
not like Brad Pitt here or something.
Yeah.
And that's when it gets... So Vanderpump Rules is just annoys me now because it's like they're all crafting their own
but
story.
But it's still going, isn't
and there's
it?
So much shit going on with them behind the scenes that they refuse to talk about and they're allowed to not talk about, which is kind of defeats the purpose of it
mm.
to me. So.
It was like the Sylvester Stallone show about his family that... Did you watch
that? I never watched that one, actually.
But he was going through like a divorce with his wife at that time and it's never mentioned in the show.
Yeah, see, it's stuff like that. I like... If you're gonna... I want to hear it all. I want to see it all. And I don't like feeling like I'm being... lied to like, oh no, these are really good people. We're like, and they're just intentionally obfuscating
so you prefer
that...
show where they're so evil from the get-go
yeah where it's just
as opposed
like,
to like trying
look
to trick
at these
you.
Awful people or it's just like unknowns that come on like
yeah.
this deep fake love thing and they don't have any allegiance to these people.
That's so bad.
I don't know, that's what
I
like.
Did ask Mark, did you watch that briefcase show that they did where they
yeah.
gave money to someone, you get to keep the money or you give it to this poor
yeah.
family?
I never actually watched that show.
Now that's the worst. I think
I'm
it got canceled due to
yeah.
like
a lot of those shows got canceled back in the day because they were just like really awful.
Now, do you watch Mr. Beast?
No.
Do you know what Mr. Beast is?
I don't think I do.
He's a YouTube guy and he has like the most popular guy on YouTube.
Okay.
And he does horrifying like the real Squid Game.
Really?
I paid an assassin to attack me. Yeah. That's
well, there is a real Squid Game reality show now.
Well, it got canceled.
Oh, did it really?
I believe it did
no,
because it basically turned into Squid Game.
Did it really?
And they wanted people to win or like too many people got would get eliminated in one
okay.
round.
No,
is
I
it coming
gone.
Out?
Yeah, it was on Netflix, I think, the last time I checked.
Oh,
I haven't
so maybe
seen
it's
any
there.
Of it, but no, I haven't gotten into the YouTube world of
I mean, you're not
people.
Coming back.
Yeah, that's the thing. Once I go down, I only have so much time.
Yeah, have you not seen Mr. Beast? Like, his photos are always
yeah.
like,
I mean,
like
maybe,
him like, whoa!
Oh, that face looks familiar.
Yeah.
Maybe I've seen images, but...
And like, kids love him. He's telling you in his name who he is. He's
yeah,
Mr. Beast.
He's Mr. Beast.
Yeah, I'm the devil.
That's why.
And it's like, all right, well, I love what you do. And it's like, no, I'm the devil.
Wow.
So moving on, this is the Justin.
Anyways, this is
maybe I'll get really into Mr. Beast, or maybe you'll walk in and you have like a Mr. Beast T-shirt.
Yeah, hey, you should watch some more reality TV.
No, I don't like it. It makes me feel uncomfortable. As a guy who would like turn the channel away when the Fresh Prince got too dramatic, do reality TV.
Like I was suggesting, yeah, I know. On when you were looking through that list, I think you should start with something like those Korean shows that I was watching, like Physical 100 or The Devil's Plan.
Well, those are like games.
Like
yeah, I don't
those
like it,
people
though.
Aren't as awful. Like you would get more.
Here's
into
my issue.
That. But
no. I don't like seeing people lose.
Well, that's fair. Then maybe you won't. Then
even game
won't.
Shows, I'm like, that doesn't make
I know.
Me
there's
very
definitely
good.
Some heartbreaking losses in those.
Yeah, but I don't like it. No, in fiction, I love it.
Yeah,
but in reality, no.
So you're not like yeah, you know.
I believe everyone should be winners.
No. That's fair.
But I love. Sports movies a
Me
lot
too.
And
yeah.
sports manga or
those
all that stuff. Yeah, those are
because
different.
It's like predestined. Like, well, they're gonna win. Or
no,
even
not necessarily.
If, no, but even if they don't, like,
there is some
like
victory
a positivity.
In some way.
You know,
yeah,
they'll
yeah.
yeah, they win inside. You know.
So finally, we have Suspect Zero and the scariest.
Back to 4Ks.
The scariest part of this one is the disc is off the case.
Again, Kino Lorber. I mean, we've talked about it with
this
Show
was never an issue until like a couple months ago.
Maybe a year.
A year ago.
Point.
Okay.
Like again, these really Kino. Like I said before, Shout Factory, Criterion, Kino are the worst. Guys, like, upgrade your fucking cases, dudes. Like, every time we get these in and there's just, like, floating discs all over the place. Anyways, this is Suspect Zero. And talk about movies that definitely needed to be on 4K UHD.
I always get this one confused with the Anthony Hopkins, Ryan Gosling one.
Oh, Fracture.
Fracture, yes.
Yeah, that movie's lame.
Who directed
this movie's
Suspect
also
Zero?
Lame. Now, this is this movie sucks, but it's interesting because it's directed by E. Elias Merhij.
Yes.
The guy who made Begotten.
Yes, that's
which,
why I know his
and
name.
And Shadow of the Vampire.
Yep.
This
great
was
movie.
His follow-up to Shadow of the Vampire, which obviously was nominated for some Academy Awards, so I guess he got some clout, and he was able to do a big studio serial killer thriller. And I was really excited for this at the time because I was a huge fan of him. I still like somebody. What's going on with Begotten? Like, why can't anybody?
I think he owns
that?
The rights
Does
to
he
it
just
himself.
Own it
yeah. And,
like, I have a bootleg of it.
Because he put out a DVD himself, didn't he?
Yeah. I have a bootleg of, I think, that DVD he put out himself, which looks good and everything, but.
As good as Begotten can.
As good as. But I love that movie.
Yeah.
Great
Begotten
stuff.
Rules.
Begotten rules. Shadow of the Vampire also rules.
Yep.
Big fan of that. Also out of print, too. Like, what's going on with
but,
that?
But, you know, Kino's like, but we know you people want Suspect Zero.
So, yeah, I was really excited for this at the time. This came out in 2004, which was a little late for the whole serial killer wave.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like if this came out in the late 90s, it would have done better.
I mean, you got the bricklayer.
You got the bricklayer himself,
Aaron Eckhart.
Carrie Ann Moss, you got Trinity in there. And Ben Kingsley plays the bad guy. He's like the Kevin Spacey-esque
wow.
serial killer.
Wait, is this so? It's written by Zach Penn and Billy Ray. Shattered
like.
Glass himself.
I like Billy Ray.
Does he? What has he been doing lately? Other than writing that AMC ad for Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
He did write that one.
He did. Oh, you know what? I forgot. I know he's been around for a while, but I rewatched Volcano the other night.
I just saw it on your Letterbox.
Billy
like, why?
Ray co-wrote that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. We were just looking for something stupid to put on. We watched Dante's Peak a few weeks ago,
yep.
and I was
loved
just,
it.
My partner never seen Volcano. I'm like, yeah, I know it sucks.
Oh, he
I didn't
wrote
like it.
The Hunger Games. And
yeah, he's a lot.
He wrote Richard Jewell.
He's all over the place. Yeah, he's more known for a writer. I think
Terminator Salvation, Gemini
yeah.
Man.
As what? A director,
Secrets
I think.
Secrets in Their Tears.
He's only made like 3 or 4 films as a director.
Yeah, Shattered Glass, Breach.
I like Breach.
Oh, he directed Secret in Their Eyes.
Well, that was the remake
oh,
of the
God.
Film.
He directed a movie called The Comey Rule.
Oh, it's a TV miniseries.
Yeah, starring
something.
Jeff Daniels
yeah, yeah.
as James Comey, the guy writing
yeah.
the, ugh.
Anyways, this movie is a mess. It's like your typical like post-7 kind of like dark, moody serial yeah. killer thriller. I don't even remember what the gimmick is, though. It's like Ben Kingsley. I think he's like some mentalist guy or
yeah.
something. Yeah, he's like he's got telepathy or something. Yeah, he's trained. Okay, something
he's
like that.
He's got like some kind of magic
Or I think
powers.
Aaron Eckhart's trained in some secret government program to telepathically get into the minds of killers. And I think Ben Kingsley is also either the guy who started up the program or something. Anyway, some guy who went rogue and started killing
yeah.
people. I just remember being so disappointed with this at the time.
Have you watched it since?
No, I haven't. But I was so excited to see this. I didn't see it in theaters, but I remember renting it from the store as soon as it came out and just being like, that kind of sucks. But yeah, so Zach Penn It's credited with the story and the screenplay, so I guess this was his brainchild.
And then Billy Ray maybe did a draft
more so
of it.
Than E. Elias.
Yeah. Even though E. Elias does commentary on it.
He does. And you can see some of his like visual style.
Wait, so
but
he
it's
did
like,
he didn't do What Dreams May Come, right? That's like how directed The Navigator,
no.
getting them confused.
Yeah, that's Vincent Ward.
Ward, yeah.
Loved What Dreams May Come as a kid.
Where's that 4K? Did we talk about it at one point?
No, it came out on Blu-ray at some point, but there's, I feel like that's a Kino Lorber thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Point, right? Yeah, I don't know. The shameful thing about this is, though, I don't think Elias Marriage has made anything else since then.
Maybe with Suspect Zero. He said everything he had to say.
I think he did. Yeah. I think he did. Hilarious to me that this is what Kino chooses to put out on 4K.
They got to put stuff out,
and we sell some, too. People
there you go.
Stuff.
Well, that's it for this week's episode of the Bay Street Video Podcast. Until next week, my name is Justin The Clue.
And I'm Mark Hansen.
Keep on buying.
Keep on renting.
Post 7 film.
These movies and many more are available at your local video store.
The Bone Collector.
Terrible movie.
What's the other one? Because Morgan Freeman played multiple.
Well, that's Denzel Washington, though.
Oh, Denzel. Who am I thinking? What did Morgan Freeman play?
He did Kiss the Girls.
Kiss the Girls.
And Along Came a Spider.
Along Came, that's what I'm thinking
based
of.
On
yeah,
the
yeah,
same.
Yeah.
Kiss the Girls scared the shit out of me.
Is
when
Fallen
I was a kid.
Considered a post 7 film, even though
I
it has supernatural
so.
Elements?
I love Fallen. Yeah. Big, big fan of Fallen.
Who directed Fallen?
Gregory Hoblit.
Got a serial killer. Old dog movie, brain kinda. Himself. Yeah, Jim Caviezel in there.
Yeah.
There were some other post 7. There were so many.
There were more.
I can think of like 7 ripoffs, which we've talked
about. Copycat. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yes, Copycat. I do remember. I remember my dad watching it and me seeing it because he writes like a letter at the end.
Yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, yeah. There were so many.
You know which one I watched recently? A Jill the Ripper, which is
the
Anthony Hickox one with Dolph. Shot in Toronto.
I've seen that since I was a kid. Jesus. Yeah. Good stuff.
And of course, we have Resurrection.
Resurrection.
Christopher
That's
Lambert.
The most bald face.
Seven
Ripoff. Love that one, though. Big fan. There were so many DTV serial killer movies around that time. I was obsessed.
What are the like Hollywood? Yeah, and it's gone away,
we
right?
Into
you
it,
moved
yeah.
beyond that.
Yeah, not anymore.
They were all trash, weren't they?
They're
though,
all trash,
like there was
yeah.
no like.
But even
great
like,
one.
Let's get serious. Even
seven is trash.
Trash
absolutely
right? love it, but yeah. it's trash. I think it's just been elevated.
Are we gonna come back? How come we haven't had like a wave of like true crime movies? I mean, we kind of
I
had.
Think they
but
are
not
here
in that
and there.
Style.
Yeah,
like we've got a lot of like biopics-ish about serial killers.
That's the thing. They take them too seriously nowadays. Whereas in the past, it was like they were.
We're serious, but like a music video director's doing.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's like, very,
right? It's like super like high, gothy or whatever. Yeah. That was
bring that
thing.
Back. That's what I want.
Yeah, seriously.
Unfortunately,
I love that wave.
We're not allowed in the streaming world to make any movies with style anymore.
No,
it is illegal.
Done. It's done. Yeah, Justin and I just came from a screening and
not good.
Pretty indicative. Of the lack of style in contemporary movies.
No, but you know what movies do have style.
Yeah.
Buzz,
buddy.
The Beekeeper.
I can't wait till March 12th when we're going to talk about this.
Oh, is that coming out on Blu-ray then?
Yeah. I hope it comes out the same day as The Bricklayer. I'm telling you. You got to.
I feel like Bricklayer, it doesn't have a date yet, The Bricklayer?
Not for DVD. Okay. Although I'll check. Okay. It's got to be soon.
It's got to be soon.
It's got to be soon.